The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
For 10 days last month, we followed the progress of the four Artemis II astronauts in their historic trip around the moon. And a little bit earlier, I sat down here in Philadelphia with the Associate Administrator for the Mission Support Directorate at NASA, Bob Gibbs, to discuss his work with the agency and the importance of space and the Artemis program. And I started by asking him about our fascination with outer space and the exploration of it and how real our obsession is.
It really is, and it's something that occurs across the globe. You know, it isn't just a U.S. or, you know, a singular thing. We've had the opportunity to travel the world and experience this through other people's eyes, which is one of our great relationships with European space agencies and others. NASA is one of the only organizations in the world that inspiration of the next generation is part of its founding charter.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, inspiration. Since 1958. Inspiration for scientific exploration, for innovation, for all of those things, for the next generation of scientists and engineers is part of our founding. We actually have a section of NASA that does only that.
How important was Artemis, the recent Artemis II, that program in terms of, I suppose, getting people back invested in it, inspired by it? Because obviously it's a very long time since the first time people walked on the moon.
Yeah, Artemis II was incredibly important for the next exploration campaign of the agency, not only getting to the moon to establish a habitat, but to go further with exploration. So I think these test flights, these demonstration flights, we're looking at different capabilities. You're looking at different sort of approaches to how do we do exploration are absolutely critical.
There seems to be a change occurring in space travel, a commercialization of it. Obviously, up until now, it has been huge powers, like the US or NASA, the agencies of huge powers going to space. But now we have people like Elon Musk commercializing it. What's your view on that?
So, you know, if you went back 30 years, NASA did a lot of it itself. It's always had partners and contractors and things like that. The current construct of NASA right now is only one-third U.S. federal, two-thirds contractors and partners, international and others. So it's really sort of evolving before your very eyes and looking at how we do things and do things differently and approach things differently. The challenges to getting to the moon for a sustained presence and then further exploration are fairly enormous. And so you can't do it from within your own fence lines. You're going to have to bring in the best thinking from across the globe.
Really. And in terms of investment, I mean, are we talking to do something like that, to have, say, a permanent presence on the moon? Are we talking trillions? What are we talking in terms of you know, I can't imagine what the financial outlay for something. It's expensive to buy a house currently in Ireland, so I don't know what the financial outlay would
States
be
too, yeah.
to build something on the moon.
Yeah, you know, the real estate would be pretty pricey up there. You know, getting construction crews up there would be very difficult. That's a joke. So, you know, the current budget is allocating between $2 and $3 billion for sustained lunar presence and for some of the incredible technologies you're going to need, essentially nuclear power for propulsion and for in situ, for using for power on the surface of the moon. The moon has some very unique challenges. The night on the moon is 14 days, and it's very, very difficult temperatures. So one of the big challenges from an environmental standpoint is survive the night, having a power source that can survive in darkness, in hostile conditions with very difficult dust for a long period of time. So all of these things play in.
How did you get into, I suppose, working in the area of space? How does somebody, was it one of those things that you imagined as you were a little kid just looking at rocket ships and going, this is what I want, or was it a slower burn than that?
You know, for me, it's always been, I was always fascinated with complex technical challenges. I'm a retired naval officer. I worked in nuclear engineering on submarines. That was sort of where I grew up. I had the opportunity to come work at NASA as their people officer and then as the mission support director, associate administrator. For me, it's about solving very difficult problems and challenges. That was what did it to me, and there's probably no better place in the world to do that than NASA.
I'm just thinking about you involved with submarines. I'm thinking, if you're on Earth, that's one of the most challenging environments, I would imagine. And now you've chosen to work in an area
off Earth, but also challenging environments.
So, yeah, neither of them are great if you step outside, right? Neither are super great for you if you step outside the wherever you are.
And just, you know, for people listening to kind of get us, what did you do sort of on a daily basis in NASA? What was going on there for you? And one of the things that I was, when I did watch all the Artemis stuff, I could only imagine the relief for everyone back on Earth when that was a successful mission. When, you know, I remember previous missions with the space shuttle and, you know, where people didn't come home. So I can only imagine the relief. But what happens in NASA on a daily basis? I'm sure it's like going to any other office, although you're doing something extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, this is the question I get often asked quite often is what makes NASA different? And for me, it's the people. The people. It's the people and their commitment to working together and solving these very, very hard problems. On a daily basis, for me at NASA, it was really tackling some of the larger sort of challenges, whether it was people or infrastructure or helping those organizations necessary for supporting the mission work together to accomplish something that's very, very, very difficult in some challenging times, right? The money is tight right now. Budget resources are tight. There's a lot of change in the market. The technology is changing incredibly fast. All of these things are forcing NASA to transform as it's delivering mission. Now, it's no different from any other organization in the world, right? Every organization in the world right now is going through transformation, and they're facing a lot of these challenges. It's just our application of them might be a little bit different.
Yeah. We obviously have space stations. They do already exist, not on the moon, but out there. For astronauts who are spending long periods of time in space or in space stations, how difficult is that?
It's an amazing challenge, right? I mean, not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, and then to do a really difficult job. But if you meet the astronaut group, I think they'll tell you to a person that that's what they're about, right? This is what they're all about, is to get to space and to do these missions and to do these things. It's sort of their street cred, right? When you get time on the ISS or out in space, whatever you might be doing. Incredible group. And it's really interesting, the process we go by to select astronauts, the most competitive job in the world, 18,000 applications for a position as one of the members of the NASA Astronaut Corps.
So there's a hunger there, an appetite among other people to go to space.
Oh, yeah. And from across the globe, right? We get applications from all over the globe.
Amazing. But the physical challenges, they are real, aren't they, in terms of the changes that the low level of gravity would have, the weightlessness on the body?
Yeah, it really is. And NASA spends a lot of resources to maintain the health of its astronaut corps. But it is the most fragile link in space exploration is the human body. So we spend a lot of time, and we have some incredible professionals that are dedicated to making sure that we take care of our astronauts on Earth and when they return to Earth safely from wherever they were.
And maybe, how did you get caught up in Gateway, I'm thinking now, Ireland, Gateway to Europe? Because we don't associate Ireland as such with space, with going to space. We don't have any astronauts currently. We don't
have... You have one coming, though. There's one coming.
Yeah. We're hopeful. Yeah. We certainly are. But you know, we aren't a country that you would readily associate with, you know, the space programs that exist.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So one of the sort of cultural maxims of the agency is for the benefit of all. We don't do there's very little that we do that stays behind locked doors. It's available for the public, for organizations, foreign countries. We have over 150 different international partnerships. So when someone asked, and we're talking about the development of people, and they said, hey, could you come talk to us about how NASA does that? And it was a really interesting application of what we do in a very different field. And for my folks and myself, being able to see NASA through somebody else's eyes like that, absolutely invaluable, absolutely invaluable.
That's wonderful. And that I think, comment you made about it being there, one of the mission statements is to inspire. I'm sure that you absolutely do that. Look, thank you so much for joining us. We are truly honored to have you here today in Philadelphia. That is Bob Gibbs, former Associate Administrator for the Mission Support Directorate in NASA.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric Range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.